The International Peace Symposium was instituted by the spiritual head of the Ahmadiyya community worldwide, Hazrat Mirza Masroor Ahmed, to honor individuals and organizations who have over the years practically demonstrated their commitment to peace, development, and the cause of humanity. Last year, the award was conferred on a Ghanaian, Professor Ohiniba Buachieje, an orthopedic surgeon, for his role in providing free orthopedic services to the poor and underprivileged in Ghana and in many parts of Africa. A development the community believes gave life and hope to the deprived and vulnerable. In casting its net wide for another champion of peace, the community this year settled on founder and chief executive of Mary's Meals, Magnus McFarlane Barrow, whose humanitarian NGO continues to provide meals for thousands of school children in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia who would have naturally dropped out of school as a result of hunger. For his prize, he took home a plaque and an amount of £10,000.
I'm deeply honoured and very moved to receive this award. A little bit embarrassed too. I always like to describe the work of Mary's Meals as just lots and lots of little acts of love.
In a remark, the spiritual head of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community worldwide, Hazrat Mirza Masroor Ahmed, said the community will continue to project the true teachings and beauty of Islam as enshrined in the Quran. He described as fallacious and unacceptable the actions of ISIS and other Muslim extremist groups who continue to use the name of Islam to perpetrate violence. He was not happy with the inaction by the West in halting Islamist extremist group ISIS, which he claims have been equipped and funded by certain elements in the West.
I say again that any Ahmadi Muslim, or indeed any peace-loving Muslim, feels great pain that their pure religion is being tarnished and exploited in this unjust way. However, I would also hereby like to question those people or organizations or politicians who claim that Islam is a religion of violence on the basis of the atrocities of the extremist groups. I would ask them to consider how these groups are able to acquire such funds that allow them to continue their terrorist activities and warfare for so long. How do they acquire such sophisticated weapons? Do they have arms industry or factories? It is quite obvious that they are receiving the help and support of certain powers. This could be direct support from very oil-rich states, or it could be other major powers covertly providing assistance. When ISIS first came to prominence, it was said that they took over the weapons of the National Army and captured some arms depots. This may be true, but it would not be sufficient on its own for them to continue their activities until now. If the supply line of a regular army is cut off, then it is impossible for them to continue, and yet the supply line of ISIS seems to be continually increasing.
The symposium attracted senior members of the UK Parliament, members of the British House of Lords, ministers, high commissioners, mayors, the clergy, and many more. Reporting from London, Ibrahim Opon-Kwarteng.